The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment.
Dasha, we are back.
What's up?
We did it. We're here.
Thank God.
And not only are we here, but you're here with your new album.
Sure am. Dirty Blonde. She's alive and thriving.
And it's so good.
Thank you.
It's so good.
Thanks.
And I was lucky enough to hear a bunch of it the last podcast before it was out. And now the world gets to have it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going through your head? What is Dasha post album like?
Dude, honestly, I feel like I just gave birth. Like, genuinely, I had that thing inside me for maybe over 2 years.
Yeah.
January 2021 is when it started happening.
Mm.
And it feels so good.
It's the best feeling.
Oh my God, it's so good. But the crazy thing is, like, once an album comes out, like, that's when the real work begins.
Yep.
You know?
Now it's game time.
Mm-hmm, now it's game time. And now it's like label talks and publishing talks. And
that's
like,
so crazy.
How are you going to market this album on your own? Huh? Let's figure that out.
Absolutely. So you're completely independent.
Yeah.
Do you have management?
I do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And do you want to possibly do the label thing, or are you enjoying the independent thing?
You know, I am talking to a few labels right now that I really, really love. I'm open to it. I'm definitely open to it. I would like to stay. I mean, I want to keep my master's, and I want to keep like a lot of things that usually are not in normal contracts.
Like the creative commons.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like,
and so if it works for that, then I'm super down to have like a bigger team. Like, fuck yeah, I'll take the budget. Like,
totally.
Why not? But I'm also not going to sacrifice like my artistic integrity to just say that I'm with a label. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, it's... So many people like the name of a label behind them
mm-hmm.
versus understanding if it's actually going to be an asset and worth what you're giving them, because it's a great big portion of it, which sometimes is amazing and it's for great reason, and sometimes it's not.
Some people sign with labels and just have no fucking idea what they're signing.
Absolutely.
And that's terrifying. Like, I'll talk to people like, oh, I sign with like blah, blah, blah records. And I'm like, oh, like what's the terms? Like, what's the deal? They're like, I don't know.
Yeah, somebody wrote
like,
the contract
what?
For me. Absolutely. It's
like,
so
what?
Crazy. And especially when you know what it takes to do. I mean, you were saying you did this since 2020. Like, this is childbirth. This is a huge thing.
Literal
this is,
childbirth.
It's also something in the same way that childbirth is. Now you have this whole thing to take care of and to mm-hmm. promote and to keep backing. And so many people put out an album and they're like, okay, next versus next and still pushing what they have.
Yeah, next and important because I'm guilty. I'm writing my next album already and it's planned to come out in October.
Oh, unreal.
Yeah.
That's sick.
I just write so much goddamn music and I have this kind of genre change that I'm kind of like going after a little bit. And I'm really excited about it and I don't want to lose like the fire under it. And so I have that plan, but also at the same time, I'm like, okay, let's make this Dirty Blonde album
Absolutely.
Blow the fuck up.
Well, and if you do things right, you should be able to do both. Like that's part of the job is juggling those things and being proud of what you did and being proud of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, they're not separate. They're one and the same.
Yeah.
So any tours or shows or anything coming up that is kind of inspired by this album?
I played the album release show at the Moroccan Lounge, and then I played...
I was out of town. I was so mad.
It's okay. There'll be more shows.
It looked unreal, though.
It really was. The energy in that room was... I cried so much in the last song, and I walked off stage, started bawling. I was like, oh my God. I just felt like so much love and support from LA. It was fucking awesome.
What a cool feeling. Where was it?
Yeah. Moroccan Lounge.
Oh, you just said that.
Yeah. It's okay.
I love the Moroccan Lounge. Yeah, that's how my head works. I remember something for 2 seconds and then
me too.
Back onto it.
It's okay.
So,
but I'm trying to go on tour. My goal is to be an opening act on tour
awesome.
By the summer. Talking to agencies very seriously right now. So
hopefully
next week actually is like the big meeting. So hopefully something will come of that
and
I'll get on to it.
When it comes to fruition. It
when
will.
It comes to fruition. Is it fruition or fruition?
I think fruition, but I also
But it's
very
spelled
much...
fruition, right? Do I sound like an idiot right now?
No, I'm
fruition?
As dyslexic as it gets. So the spelling part just doesn't even go through my head.
I'm as dyslexic as they come.
Yeah, that's what Google's for.
Fruition.
I just Google whatever I'm typing. Literally when I'm at work, I'll pay something into Google and then Google will let me know if it's wrong.
Oh.
And I'll take it off and put it in.
That's sweet.
It might not work, but
like
I don't...
Grammarly kinda?
Yeah, but I don't know why I don't just put it in Grammarly. That's a good point.
I have that on like all my shit.
I do too, and I just haven't used it. And it's okay. Now I'm going to.
Maybe one day.
Maybe that'll help with my dyslexia.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's how it works.
I don't think it has. It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens.
We're learning.
So what else is going on? What is this new genre change, if you don't mind?
I don't mind at all, actually. The new genre change, I'm trying to pick my words carefully because people freak out when they hear the word country. Like country music.
I remember talking about this.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I just realized that I grew up listening to country music. Mm-hmm. I've always really liked it. Dolly Parton, Tim McGraw, Taylor Swift. And I realized that the way I developed my songwriting skills, I started songwriting when I was like 8. Mm-hmm. And so at a really young age, I didn't really realize that there was different styles of songwriting. I just was writing shit that I was writing. I wasn't even thinking about it, you know? And subconsciously, I kind of developed this very country style of writing, like classic country writing. And in Dirty Blonde and in all my songs I write for other people, whatever, I realized that I bring like a very strong sense of storytelling into everything.
Yeah.
And then, for example, in Dirty Blonde, like a lot of it gets covered up with production and, you know, beats and blah, blah, whatever, which are awesome. I fucking love those songs too.
Totally.
But then I realized, wait, I actually really like it just leaving the song how it is.
So is it going to look a little bit more like acoustic sort of?
Mm-hmm. More stripped down, more acoustic, letting my voice shine a little bit more. I'm kind of getting into like this lower range of my voice, which has been really fun. And I'm just being really, really raw and vulnerable with the stories I'm telling. Mm. Ones that are like really scary to even talk about and like shit that like my parents don't even know about. And
that's something that I talk about and I'd like to keep talking about more on this podcast is I think that's the part people don't realize is that you look up to these people growing up and you're like, wow, they're talking about the craziest shit, whether it's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into that position where you have that ability and you go, do I want people to hear this or not?
Yeah.
And just based off of maybe it's facts that, like you're saying, your family doesn't know and how are they going to take it? Am I doing them a disservice? But am I doing myself a disservice to not talk about it, not
exactly.
be honest?
Because there could be, even if it's one person out there who just needs to hear that so fucking bad, like, oh, I'm not alone in this. Like, I know someone else who's been through this.
Absolutely.
And I mean, also, it's a weird thing of like, how are people going to receive this story? Mm. Like, I was writing a song earlier for the album about the first pregnancy scare I ever had.
Crazy.
And one of the lyrics was talking about, like, what do I do? Like, knowing that I had a choice. And, like, that is obviously a very, very, very controversial subject.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, oh, my God, I'm scared to put this in. So at first I was like, no, I can't talk about that. I'm like, wait, that's what you're supposed to do. You got to say the shit that people are scared to say. That's
Absolutely.
What real music is.
And you got to say it not just for yourself, but for people who also who don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's
so many smart people who just aren't loud enough to be heard. And
wait, repeat that. That was a good ass sentence right there.
There's so many people who aren't loud enough to be heard. And,
yeah.
And if you have the wherewithal and the ability to make yourself heard, I think it's kind of our job to do the things that sometimes make us uncomfortable, but that are honest to who we are.
100%. Could not agree more.
And the more you talk about that type of stuff too, the less scary it feels, the less big it feels.
Less stigmatized it becomes. And
Absolutely.
It's really, I think it's like a healthy conversation for our country, our world to even talk about is the shit that are like, ooh.
Especially the country world.
Yeah.
Especially with what you're talking about there. Like we're in a weird world that's full of this crazy dichotomy, especially in politics and whatever right now. And what makes you who you are. And that's a world that hasn't, I just don't think there's as many people who've pushed that boundary yet.
Mm-hmm.
And having somebody who's willing to do that, whatever side of it you're on, that's so important. And that's also harder because you're talking about something that hasn't been talked about in that world or not as much. So you have an obligation to do it justice.
Yeah. Especially exactly what you're saying, being kind of treading into the country world, to the folk world. Women especially wouldn't. No one's Kacey Musgraves, her talking about weed was like a crazy fucking thing.
Which is so
marijuana,
wild.
Which is legal here now. It's like
and the funny thing is the stigma is what people are afraid of. They're still going home and getting fucking baked out of their minds. I don't care if you're wearing you're wearing chaps or you're wearing jeans or whatever you're wearing. You're going home, you're getting stoned. Absolutely. And being able to talk about that and just anything that is true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
down the line is going to make you so much more comfortable in your own skin too. And like, this is all this, this weird experiment
being real.
Of just trying things, seeing what works, seeing what has a reaction. And if it's a reaction you want to continue with or not, this is all just trial and error.
The thing about being like a human and an artist is like, we have no idea what the fuck we're doing. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Mixing, mastering, writing. What the fuck is all this shit? The only thing that you can actually rely on as your North Star is what your energy aligns with. You know what I mean? And I've been reading a lot. I'm reading Rick Rubin's book right now. And I've been meditating a bunch. And trying to like really tap into like my frequency and my energy and raising my frequency as high as frequency as high as possible. So I can like actually know like, you know what, this does resonate with me and this doesn't. And that's okay. You know?
And sometimes you need to say things that you don't agree with or that you and have the ability to sway away from those ideas. Like that's part of this as well is being honest with who you are at this moment and then allowing that to not be who you are forever if it doesn't if it doesn't honor who you are anymore. It's so crazy what we're able to do just by sitting down and turning our sadness, our depression, our happiness, our angst, whatever it is, into art.
Music is fucking wild. It's makes insane. No goddamn sense either.
And
which
it,
is
I don't think
it
ever will.
Oh, no.
And I think that's kind of the point of it is we have a space to be wrong and to be right and to be decisive and indecisive and... It's crazy what we can do, and we don't have to talk about it because I know it's not happening yet, but we'll get people wondering what it is, what we were talking about earlier. I think when you start that, that's going to give people a space to understand why people do what they do and why they write the way they write. And God, you guys are going to be really excited. It's I love the idea. Thanks. And people still have no idea what we're fucking talking about.
No idea.
It's great. They don't need to know yet.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's awesome, though.
Thanks. Yeah. The sound's been developing nicely. I know exactly what I want it to sound like, and it's been, like, really fun. I've been doing a lot of trips out to Nashville, writing a bunch.
Awesome.
There's just something in the air in Nashville.
I've never been.
Oh, God, you have to go. It's so fun for writing, and people just rip on guitar out there, and, like, they're not afraid of, like, banjos and fucking harmonicas, and I'm like, bring that shit in here. Like, let's go.
We got a banjo over there. We got a mandolin up there.
Oh, my roommate got a mandolin today.
And I'm going to pick up my girlfriend from the airport who's coming from Nashville in a couple hours.
Oh, my God.
So I need to go.
I have
no reason
not
to.
I'll
make that happen.
What was she doing in Nashville?
She's visiting her mom.
Oh, is she from there?
No, but she went to Belmont. They're all from Detroit.
I knew that. Yeah, okay. Okay.
But yeah, her mom's been out there for a while, and she went to school out there. And yeah, I need to go.
Yeah, you need to go. Nashville's dope.
We'll make that happen. So... Are you writing a lot for other people right now, or is it mostly for yourself?
I'm mostly writing for myself right now, but I am also writing for a lot of people. I'm writing A-OK's album with him.
Oh, he's isn't he from Detroit?
Somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, I think
it's Detroit.
Because I'm pretty sure he's good buddies with a couple of my friends.
That would make sense.
If you're watching this, I'd love to have you on.
Oh,
also.
He so would. I fucking love him.
That'd be awesome.
He's one of my besties. We hang out all the time.
How'd you guys get connected?
We had a mutual session. I got brought in by another writer, and I was just writing for this other person. And we were like, what's up? And he's like, what's up? And then he was like, you want to help me write like a project for me? And I was like, okay, let's see how it goes. And so it was just he and I, and it went so well. And we're like, wait, we actually get along too.
It was just you two who wrote it.
Yeah, it's just he and I writing, like, basically his whole... I don't know, like, if it's an album or two albums or whatnot, but, like, I think we have, like, 8 or something songs that are, like, really good that are, like, coming out. It's just he and I writing them, so...
So would you consider yourself originally a writer who, like, found the artist thing, or from day one was your goal to do both?
This is an interesting question. So before... I guess this is how I'll answer it. I've always been a very public... loving the spotlight type of human. So as a child, when I like around 8, when I seriously started songwriting seriously, like every day I'd go on my guitar and write.
You started
shit.
Your 10,000 hours.
Yeah, exactly. When I started my 10,000 hours when I was 8, I love that. I didn't really get the concept of being an artist or like what that really entailed. I just knew there were singers and there was songwriters, but I didn't really get like the whole artist thing. Yeah. It wasn't until I was probably 12 or 13 when I released my first song and I was like, oh shit, there's way more that goes into this than just like singing a song.
Totally.
And so I guess I was always an artist without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Because I loved everything, the whole concept of being behind your music and dressing a certain way and like just being your music. And I've always told people this, like, the person you see like in interviews like right now or like on YouTube or in shows, like, that's, there's no difference between that and then the Dasha that falls asleep in my bed.
Absolutely.
Tonight. Like, it's the same person.
And I think for a lot of people that there is a character built in. And mm-hmm. nothing wrong with it, but
no, not at all.
I would have trouble doing that because I can't put on the mask. I can't remember when to put it on, when to take it off. Also, with something like this, I really can't do that. I'm talking for way too many hours
to like have this whole thing.
That would be a lot to remember, which doesn't work with my brain. But I feel like I don't release music anymore. I will eventually, but the artist thing was always the sexy allure because I like the dressing, how I want to dress and having that be part of who I am, because it is. Mm-hmm. With or without trying to, that's just built into the software, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think you also surround yourself with a lot of people who I feel like are pretty similar to that.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm very lucky to have like really dope people around me a lot of the times. Yeah. And no, but to like answer the question fully, I guess like I was always an artist without noticing I was. Yeah. And then finally when I became aware of it, like, you know, early in high school and then went to Belmont and I was like, oh, this is what it takes to be an artist, quote unquote. I like started adjusting things so it like fit more into that. But it was always just like what I was doing. But I guess intentionally the songwriting came first.
What do you like about writing songs with other people?
I love people's ideas and I love how one kind of shit idea that they could say could spark like the best idea in someone else.
Absolutely.
You know?
I just had this band on and I love bands because I like seeing how they work and how they make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's so
snuggling up. Hiya, boo-boos.
I like seeing how some people are really, really good at taking somebody else's idea mm-hmm. and being okay with it starting as somebody else's and still interacting with it, not totally. Trying to make it their own, mm-hmm. but just trying to add to what needs to be there.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of the reason a lot of bands don't work is because people aren't willing to do that. They're not
the
willing.
The egos get in the way for that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you're a songwriter also, and you know you're an artist, is there like ever time when you're going into a session and you write something in the back of your head, you're like, fuck, I wish that was for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had, because I do write for a lot of females in the same lane as I am.
Awesome.
And so I'll be in rooms with really talented producers and writers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, if like, I don't really want to say the example because that's kind of weird. But like, there's like a few songs that are coming out soon that I would have been like, damn, I totally would have taken that for myself. Yeah. And it's not like a weird, like, pissed off. It's more just like, It's out of a lot of love, mm-hmm. but also knowing like if that was presented to me, I would take it.
Yeah,
you know.
And being in those situations, you really. Oh, hi, Luna. You want to come here? Okay, come on. She's gonna try to lick my face.
Oh my
gosh,
she's so fucking cute.
Yeah, she has no personal space. She just. You can hang, but you got
dog is perfect.
She's so much. She is so much.
Oh my
you
god!
Just hear her licking my face. All right, I love you.
But like overall, I don't know. Overall, I try to like definitely listen to the artist that's in the room or that we're writing for, and like remove my artistry out of it.
Yeah.
Because my personal artistry, I really like shocking people with lyrics sometimes.
Mm.
Like I have this new lyric on the album. That's
sneezing all over the place.
She's so cute. The first lyric is. For all I know, you could have fucked somebody last night is the first lyric. And it's this like really pretty acoustic guitar.
Was this pre or post?
This is about a different person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
So pre. I can't remember. When did I write that? Written post.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was just curious.
I'm going to schedule a timeline for you.
But in that idea is so synonymous with so many people that... You can write from your experience and somebody will still take it in the way that it kind of magnetizes to their
I
brain.
I love when that shit happens. It's when you best. Like hear a lyric and you're like, oh, I love this lyric. And someone else is like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, whoa, I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. But yeah.
Or you release a song and somebody goes, whoa, was it about this? And you're like, no,
but sure,
now it
can
is.
Be. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's such a weird world. I mean, there's so much, I guess, art in general can be taken in thousands and thousands of ways.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
No. That's funny. And he just called me right now.
Is that?
No.
Okay.
That's my favorite ex ever.
Okay. My favorite
ex. That's sweet boy ex.
Because I could bleep it too. Nobody would even know.
No, it's fine.
Do you ever feel like when you're in a place where you feel kind of slumped on your own writing, going into the room and writing for somebody else is a good way to kind of get yourself back into the groove?
Honestly, yeah, because I feel like when I'm writing for myself a lot and there's other writers in the room, I feel like I have to like drive the boat and like really be in charge and know exactly what I want and have the vision.
Totally.
But sometimes when I'm drained, I'm just like, I don't fucking know, but I have the skills. I have the motor skills to do it.
Absolutely.
And someone's like, I want to write this song. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I can do that with what's left in my brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say so.
And then you can kind of disassociate from your own feelings a little bit too. And that's kind of be helpful is like, you can go in and pretend you're in a different situation or pretend you're somebody else or whatever whatever that situation is, and maybe eventually find solace in your own situations through this third person perspective.
Totally. And wear like a totally new mask or just become a new person.
And that's when you can put on that mask.
It, yeah.
And it's reliable too, because that's part of the job is maybe listening to whoever you're writing for and putting yourself in their shoes. And that's a really interesting way to then look at your own situations too. Because you're not too connected to it anymore.
You want to say something? Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Okay, buddy.
She'd be so interesting if she could talk.
Right?
And so annoying.
What do you think she would say?
I think she'd just say one word way too many times. She'd just keep going.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Daddy. You didn't like that. Sorry. Sorry, girl. Thought you liked that. My bad.
So who are some artists right now that you really like writing with / for? Or writers?
Writers. Jules Paymer. I was telling you about them earlier. I really like working with Bardo. He's one of my favorites to work with.
Do you guys know each other well?
No.
Yeah, he's a little weird.
He smells pretty weird.
That's what I've heard.
He like weirdly like makes himself look like me a lot of the time. So whenever like I show up somewhere, he has like the same hair color, like nose, eyes. He's done some like work to look like me, and it's like really fucking weird.
It sounds like you might need a restraining order.
No, I think it's like out of like fan.
Okay.
Dumb.
Okay. He's a
fan.
He's a big fan. Yeah. What are your fans called?
The Dashinators.
The Dashinators. I love that. Bardo's the Dashinator.
Yeah.
God, I love that. People are going to go like, who's Bardo? They're going to look
him
up.
Who's Bardo? Yeah. He's
my brother,
guys.
The beauty school dropout.
He's my brother.
One and only.
Yeah, he's fun to work with. I really liked, who I've been working with? Rutger, the Nicholas.
How do I know that name?
He does a lot of San Holo stuff.
Okay.
He's just like my favorite. He's just a chill dude. He's from Amsterdam. He's like 6'5". And he's just like this silly, goofy dude.
I love it.
And we just like get along so well. Annie Schindel, I really like writing with her. I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of on Zach Stein. Yeah, Steinza is his name. He's a dope folk kind
Steinza.
Of artist. And we just wrote in Nashville together. And we wrote like one of my favorite songs for the new project together.
What is the difference when you're writing in Nashville versus writing in LA? Is it like, is there a palpable difference?
You know what the main thing I've found is, and this is a really big like assumption on both parts, but LA, there tends to be more focus on like the melody and the production, where in Nashville there is a lot more emphasis on what are the lyrics saying,
like the actual song behind it.
Exactly. What's the story you're telling?
And you're probably not in Nashville, you're probably not going to sit behind somebody playing beats.
That's very rare. It's usually like
somebody playing some slide guitar, wearing a cowboy hat.
Like the song that I was telling you about, yeah, light that shit up. the song I was telling you about, it's called Drown Me, and we wrote it in his living room on an acoustic guitar.
See, I love that. To me, when I grew up, what I fell in love with songwriting was watching videos of David Crosby and all these people sitting in Laurel Canyon or whatever on each other's porches writing guitar. Like, to me, that's the romantic part of it.
Yes, that's a romantic part of songwriting and music and being an artist. I feel like so much of that is lost when you're like, let's go to the studio, and it's like purple lights everywhere, and you're
absolutely.
Like, yeah, man, this beat's sick, like, dope 808. It's like, what?
And for some people, that's a great way to start, and that's a time and place for that. But
totally,
to me, that just doesn't feel, that doesn't feel as accurate to the art. And I'm also somebody who's really bad at sitting down and just writing, and I look up to it so much. My girlfriend can go have a shitty day and express not only why, but what it felt like, what the surroundings were. And I can listen to it and put myself in her shoes.
Yeah.
I struggle with that so much. And to me, that's one of the coolest things you can do is write a book or record a movie or whatever it is with your lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, there's so many different types of artists. Like, there's not just, like, one right way to be an artist. Like, your girlfriend and I have a very similar artistry in which we allow ourselves, the spirits allow us to, you know, sit down on a porch and just write a fucking song on an acoustic guitar because we need to write it. And then some people are like, no, I need a beat and I want to write it because I want a song to dance to on stage, because that's my artistry, is to entertain people. Fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no right way to do it. It's just, I feel like the way I'm talking about is the very Nashville way to do it, where song is king and the lyrics and the melody and the story comes first.
I'd say even the original way to do it. The way that people have been doing it for far longer than the beat's been around. You know, I mean, that's at the core of it. I mean, you listen to music from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and it's all about story. It's all you can fit. You think of a rock star or a pop star, whatever it is, when we were kids, and the allure of who they were. You didn't know who they were, but you understood a version of them from their music.
Totally.
Now I feel like the external image is so big that a lot of people kind of rely on that to tell who they are versus the song.
I kind of hate that sometimes, honestly.
Yeah.
It's kind of nauseating having to like put such a front up, like a visual front up to something that's supposed to be heard with your ears.
Absolutely.
But also it allows for new opportunities, because I really do love entertaining in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being visually. Like, I love to put on a good fucking show. I love to take pictures where I look hot and post them on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I love to post silly little goofy videos on the internet as well. And so it allows for like a really cool, like, it's a great way for people to know all sides of you, but also it's fucking exhausting.
Absolutely. Well, one of the cool things about it is you can go do a session for yourself and be incredibly vulnerable and honest and nervous about it because you're so true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, maybe there's things you don't want your parents to hear. Maybe there's things you don't want your brother or your ex or a friend to hear, and you're afraid the way they're going to look at you. But then you can go walk into a different session and... Oh. You're okay.
Oh my God, I thought that was a ghost.
No, it was my roommate. I forgot to text him this time.
Fuck, that scared me.
Sorry, guys, we saw a ghost.
Dude, yesterday I was watching TV, and the TV just turned off. And I was like, okay, turn back on, turn off immediately.
That's sketch.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then I was like, hello? On again, off again, on, and then stayed on. So it wasn't like a power shortage or anything.
That is
And also, there
terrifying.
Was someone who died in my roommate's room when I was like upstairs near his room. Like, I mean, probably like years and years ago, but like there's someone who died in there. And apparently this place is haunted because I've felt people in my goddamn apartment.
Yeah. Are you pretty, I don't know if empathetic is the right word, where you can kind of feel.
I am the most empathetic person I've ever met on the planet of Earth.
Yeah. So you feel
everything.
So if you go into a room and you can tell that 5 out of the 6 people in that room are having a really tough time mentally, do you feel it's really exhausting to be in that room?
No, because I can, well, depends what mood I'm in. If I'm in, like, oh my God, I'm about to be so hot.
How long until you spit water?
That was so funny. Oh my God.
One of my highlights of this podcast.
If you guys missed the last time, I literally was coughing just like that. And I was excited to answer a question, I think. And I took a sip of water and I was trying to answer it. And it just went, fucking ever. I felt so bad.
No, it was awesome. I was so happy it happened. It was the perfect moment.
Broke the ice.
Absolutely. But I've when I've met people or had people on who are mutual friends, the one thing that everybody says about you is there's no space in between meeting you and feeling like friends.
That is really kind.
But it's honest.
It's thanks.
There's like,
wow.
Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with people needing to warm up or whatever. That's everybody's got their own shit. But when you first walked in the room, like there's a lot of people where there's a 40, 50 minute conversation, and then we start getting closer and closer and become friends, and then it's fun. And mm-hmm. when you came in, we were like laughing in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool thing. Aww. And I bet you that is part of the reason you enjoy writing with other people is because those other people feel so comfortable around you really quickly. And that's an art form in itself because you can't fake that. That has to be honest. And I guarantee that's the same thing when you go into any room.
That was really kind.
For real, though.
Tearing up. Thank you. Wow.
Absolutely. But it's...
Thanks.
Part of my job on this podcast is to take in the information I get and learn about people to make myself better. Like,
yeah.
If I'm only here to help other people, I'm never going to be able to help anybody. I have mm-hmm. to continue to grow. And that's something that I took that I was like, that's one of the keys to this industry is being honest
yes.
and being yourself. And if you walk in and you try to put up a front, that's going to take a second to dissipate before the people know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't write and you can't be honest.
Yeah.
Because...
But the crazy thing is, in order to just be able to walk into a room and be exactly who you are, you have to, like, love yourself.
Mm.
And that's, I think, is what a lot of people struggle with. And, like, I struggle with it a lot, too.
Have you always been comfortable meeting other people?
Yeah, I think I was born an extrovert. I've always fucking loved people.
Mm. It's...
My dad is, if you've ever met my dad, I'm actually surprised you haven't. He's kind of everywhere always.
I'd love to meet him. We still got to do the family one.
Oh my God. We have to do that one.
He can get a tattoo on the podcast.
Oh, that'd be so good. And my mom would be freaking out. That'd be so good.
Is she not into
tats? She doesn't
tats?
Love it. She's not, like, my first tattoo is her, the year she was born.
Oh, that's sick.
And I got it because I knew I had to warm her up to the idea. Yeah. And so I was like, it's for you, mom. Like, how
that's
can
a good
you
way
be
to
mad?
Do it.
I know.
Cheers. My first one that my parents knew about was like a medical alert that I found out you can get tattooed on you instead of wearing like a bracelet or whatever. You can't read it anymore, but it's...
See, because you just wanted a tattoo so bad?
Yeah, I wanted a tattoo, and I was like, this would be a really good way to break the ice.
Oh, that is hilarious.
And it's useful, and it's nice, and if something happened to me, the doctors would see that, and at least they'd know to start asking questions.
Wait, what medical condition did you have?
So my carotid artery, which like brings the blood from your heart to your brain.
Yeah, it's right fucking...
For you it is. For me, it's right here.
Oh. Oh, it's different in males and females?
No, it's just, that's why I have this.
Oh,
shit.
So
it's supposed to be like... somewhere. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. Don't listen to me.
He's not a doctor.
At all.
Do not
I'd be the
to
worst
him.
Doctor. I'd be a caring doctor. Wouldn't do well though. But
yeah, I feel like be like, oh shit, guys. Wait, fuck.
They'd be like, don't ash your cigarette. You're fucking doing surgery.
Wait, I need five. I need one sec. I'm sorry. This is a lot of blood. I need
a cigarette break. It's so pretty much it tells doctors not to intubate or to have caution with intubation when they like, I think when they stick the tube down your throat.
Oh, in case you like pass out or something?
Yeah, well, if they hit it, I would die.
Okay.
I'd bleed out pretty instantly.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't know. I'm probably saying a bunch of wrong things.
Okay.
But it used to say.
This is what you remember. This is your experience with it.
Exactly.
This is your truth.
This is my truth. I remember the whole thing was caution with intubation, anomalous artery in posterior larynx. Couldn't tell you what it means, but that's what it said. And I memorized.
So you either had to like wear a bracelet.
Yeah. But
or get it tattooed on you.
And I was a drummer, so I would lose them every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So they were just gone when I'd start playing. So I got it tattooed and now I can't lose it or read it because it's old.
Do you have to get it redone?
Yeah. I should have gotten it redone years ago, but now we're here.
How do you get it redone? Do you just add white? Kind of.
I guess so. I'm pale enough that they could probably just erase it with white. But yeah, I don't know. I guess... I will let you know when I find out.
Huh.
We'll get there eventually. Wow, I got really high from that.
Yeah. How long have we been talking about your bracelet for?
30 minutes.
I feel like it's been like a solid 5 minutes of talking about your health condition.
It
bracelet.
Might be. But now they know. Wow. Don't
intubate
me.
Have you ever told
me.
Anyone that?
Not on the podcast.
You're being vulnerable.
I'm being very vulnerable.
You're being silly and sweet and vulnerable.
Silly and sweet and vulnerable. Now,
okay.
Now they know who
it's
I am.
It's okay to be silly and sweet and vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
One thing about me is I'm a mumbler.
So am I.
Yeah, I'm either talking like this or I'm like, let's miss.
I mumble too, but I think that's just being a stoner for me at least.
Oh, really?
It's just kind of built in.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I sometimes... like psych myself out that people hate what I have to say. Like they don't want to hear me. They're annoyed by me. And so I say it really quietly. So if they are ignored, they won't be as annoyed.
It'll be a lesser extent of annoyed.
Isn't that weird?
No,
it's like a self-conscious, conscious.
This is amazing.
God damn it. Self-conscious. Wait, what was I trying to say?
You were saying how you mumble and talk quiet, so...
Oh, me talking quieter is like people don't really want to listen to me. They kind of hate me. I'm just going to talk quiet so they don't hate me as much.
I don't think externally people think that.
I really hope not.
But I also think... So? I think that... No, not at all. That's but I good. Think that thought goes through more people's heads than it doesn't.
Really? Like everyone thinks that... Oh, okay.
Everybody thinks that people are judging them when really people are inside their own heads just beating themselves. Like that's everybody's just in their own head just yelling at themselves.
That's so true. Why is that? What the fuck is wrong with our brains that does that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a defense mechanism. Maybe it's also just it keeps people in check. You have to conquer that voice, but you also have to know when it's telling you the truth. I don't know. But do you ever really know? I don't know. High Talks with Dasher and Brad.
Whoa.
What's your favorite lyric off your album?
I think right now it's, because it changes, but right now it's in my song When I'm Naked.
Okay.
And the lyric is, it's the pre-chorus. It's, sometimes I fantasize about talking to you like a childhood friend, like it's more than just sex.
Oh, wow.
But the way I sing it, friend and sex rhyme.
Hmm.
Childhood friend, like it's more than just sex. You know how it's assonance rhyme? Wow. See, that's a technical songwriting thing. That was an assonance rhyme.
I don't even know what an assonance rhyme
is. It's when the vowels rhyme instead of the consonants.
Interesting. See, I don't know. I grew up listening. I'm a drummer, and that's all I listen to. When I'll hear a song 50 times over, and I won't know a single lyric.
I feel like drummers and bassists, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I just got so scared by your dog. I forgot it was there, and it moved. Oh, that's really funny.
She gets really quiet sometimes.
She just, like, made me so warm. I just felt so comfortable. I was like, oh, I'm just here.
Forgot she was there.
That's so funny. No, this is interesting. So this is something that Jules and I want to talk about. I'm hard launching my podcast, guys.
Whoa!
Here we go. Jules Paymer and I are starting a podcast, and it's called Song Strippers. That name might change, but we're not sure yet. But that's the working name. Basically, it's going into, like, the technical side of songwriting. People always ask us, like, how do you write songs, right? And I'm like, I was trained at Belmont. Like, I learned techniques and shit. Yeah. But also, like, sometimes it just happens. I think people are just born with it, you know? And we want to talk about all the behind the scenes of songwriting, get technical and whatever and shit. It's going to be silly and funny.
I think it's awesome, though. That's what I was talking about earlier when I didn't tell him what it was.
That's what I was talking about earlier. Breaking the fourth wall there.
But I feel like... pre-podcast we were talking about it. I feel like there's so many great podcasts that explain who the person is, that have explained top albums, top this, top that, but nobody goes through and breaks down
the why.
Or what it takes to make these things happen. Like when you're talking about these different rhymes and stuff that are clearly you're very studied on, and when you're writing, that's part of the process.
Yeah.
You have the tools to use them or to break them. And that part of it is so massive, and people think that it's just what's my experience like, but how do you say your experience in this many words and make it as powerful as possible? I can say the sky is blue, but that only tells you so much. How can you get that same sort of amount of time, make it melodic, make it catchy, make it useful to the situation, but also have it describe what you're talking about in the most detail possible. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I'm excited for you to launch that. That'll be really necessary.
That's the first official review right there.
Beautiful.
You haven't heard it.
We're here.
You haven't heard the album. I mean, the podcast. Sorry, I just gave birth to my album. I don't know if you've heard.
I don't know if you've heard.
Dirty Blonde out now.
Go stream Dirty Blonde out now. Get ready for Song Strippers.
Song Strippers.
Song Strippers.
We think.
Possibly Song Strippers, the podcast.
Maybe. We'll let you know.
We will probably smoke a little later in the podcast next time so I can answer questions. Mm-hmm. Or earlier so
maybe
I answer.
Earlier. I think we should slow it down but do it earlier.
Okay. Maybe that's the trick. Maybe just not so
much. We waited like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You had a cigarette first and then you did the joint. And then we did it.
And now we're here. Song Strippers coming out. Her new album out now. Go stream it. Everybody, Woo! You know Dasha. She's been here before. You be back many, many times. This was so fun.
It's my pleasure.
No water was spit this time.
Thank fuck.
I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, guys.
And to everybody listening, do you remember what to say?
This is an experiment.
I'm Dasha, and this is...
Okay, let me try again.
And to everybody listening...
I'm Dasha, and this is an experiment.
Yeah, it is. Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye. That was great.
The experience is the experiment.